Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And welcome to the show. Great to have you with us. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. Rick happy. Saints are still alive in the playoffs. They got Seattle this week. You can always go to REWfinancial.com. All right, and great Thursday to both Rick and to Lee. And we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Keywords 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Now, your guy Bettis averages 4 yards a carry, right?
Are you back on? It's been 24 hours, and you're still stuck on Jerome Bettis in the Hall of Fame. Yes, Jamal, he averages four.
Jamal Charles averages 5.79 yards a carry for his career.
Super.
Marion Motley, 5.7.
How many carries?
Bo Jackson, 5.4.
How many carries?
Speck Sanders, 5.4. Bobby Mitchell, 5.3. Jim Brown, 5.22.
Okay. Jim Brown, I'm willing to concede because I'm sure he has a nice amount of carries.
How many carries did your guy Bettis have?
Just a skosh under 3,500.
Yeah, that's a lot of wear and tear.
That's the missing link when you look at just yards per carry.
Ernie Cadell, 5.2. Chet Merton, 5.2. Dan Toler, 5.2.
He only carried the ball four times, though. No, I'm just kidding.
Johnny Strzokowski, 5.2. I mean, these are your guys here, okay? I mean, you know, you're jumping up and down over 4 yards a carry.
4 yards a carry. That's fine. And by the way, he fumbled the ball 41 times.
Which is good, solid. That's 4 yards a carry is a good, solid number, but he needed to be over 4.5 yards a carry, I think.
Now, see, I think you have to factor in how many attempts he had. And 3,500 attempts in a career. That is a workhorse.
Okay.
And he fumbled the ball 41 times. I think, an average of 2 a season.
Emmitt Smith, 4.2 yards a carry. Walter Payton, 4.4. Barry Sanders, 5. Curtis Martin, 4.
Curtis, my favorite Martin.
He made it. LaDainian Tomlinson, 4.3. Uh-oh, you got a problem here.
What?
Jerome Bettis, 3.9. He's not even at 4.
You know, Emmitt Smith is one.
He is the only running back in the top 15 that averages under 4 yards a carry.
Emmitt Smith is a legitimate. I give you that. That's legitimate because he had what, over 4,000 carries.
Yes, he did.
And he averaged 4.2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, and he's a workhorse.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, 4.2.
Yeah, yeah.
Jerome Bettis, 3.9.
Right.
I think that's close enough. Now, Emmitt Smith had more 1,000-yard seasons, though. I'll give him that. I'll give you that.
He also played more important games. All right.
I'm sorry. You can't punish a guy because the team didn't make the Super Bowl more than once in your career.
Let's see. Riggins is in. He's 3.9. Let's see. But money on the table, he was big.
And that's not a fair comparison for Jerome because he only had one opportunity. And they didn't really run the ball that much in that game, if I remember right. I think he only carried the ball maybe 15. I'll have to look that up. I'm not sure.
Now, he is the 6th all-time leading rusher. Now, it also, you know, he has 13,662 yards. It took him 8,500 carries to get there, but that's...
It's not true.
Now, this includes his time with the Rams, too.
Yeah, 2 years, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was with the Rams. He was with the Rams, looks like 3 seasons. All right, so he is the, of all the, okay, well, Danian Tomlinson, of course, isn't eligible yet for the Hall of Fame. All right, so let's see here. We're retirement, post-football career, personal life, don't have his stats here. All right, that's fine.
Would you say Jerome, but you have Jerome Bettis at 6th, did you say?
Yes.
In carries.
No, 6th in yards.
In yards.
Yeah, yards. He's 6th all-time in rushing. 6th all-time, 3,479 carries. He has fewer carries.
That's more yards than Jim Brown.
Yeah, Jim Brown averaged 5.2 yards a carry, dog.
Okay. He only had 2,300 carries.
Exactly. He gained Bettis gained 1,300 more yards, okay, and 1,100 fewer carries. Okay, that's a yard. Okay, he had 1,100 fewer carries and only 1,300 fewer yards.
Just wanted to see if I could catch you on that one, but it didn't work.
I'm sorry, but if they look at me and go, "Okay, here's your choice. You have Jim Brown or Jerome Bettis." I'm sorry, Jimmy Brown wins, and not only that. I thought he was good in the dirty dozen.
Franco Harris. 13th.
What about Franco?
13th on that list.
Yeah. What about him?
12,000. No, I'm comparing. If you're looking.
Yeah, but he's got 600 fewer carries.
I understand that. I understand that. What I'm saying is if you look at the running backs list of all-time rushing leaders, why isn't Jerome Bettis in the Hall of Fame? Emmitt Smith,
why?
Peyton, Sanders, Martin, Tomlinson, Bettis. Those are the guys that are ahead of him.
Mm-hmm. And Tomlinson's not eligible
until
2017.
Tomlinson's not eligible, right.
Till 2017.
Now, does he belong there? Absolutely. No question in my mind about that.
Yeah.
But why is number 6 sitting there, not there yet? And I think you make a good point.
The longer it goes, the harder it's going to be.
Well,
because another guy that's in this top 20 that probably won't make it's Corey Dillon.
Yeah.
Corey Dillon won't make it. He's 17th. All right. Warrick Dunn, Steven Jackson are both over 10,000 yards. They're not going to make it. Ricky Waters is not going to make it. Jamal Lewis is not going to make it. Thomas Jones is not going to make it.
What you said.
Tiki Barber's not going to make it.
As unfair is the reason Jerome Bettis did not get entered into the Hall of Fame at this point. And that's because he was in one big game. He was in the Super Bowl one time.
Well, I mean, Walter Payton was only in one, but he was just a better player. Barry Sanders was never in one.
But I think that's why Jerome Bettis isn't there. Because as you've said many times, you know, what was he like with money on the table? Well, when you look at the playoffs, or if you look at the Super Bowl alone, he only had one opportunity. Playoffs, different story, but
a lot of opportunities in playoffs and didn't have. Let's see what he did in the playoffs here. I can find that right away. Yeah, let's see. It's Jerome, right?
Yeah, that's it.
This is your guy, okay?
Yeah.
I don't know why you're so attached to him, but it certainly makes for an interesting conversation.
Okay, you want to know what one of the reasons why I'm attached to him?
Because you bought his jersey?
No. No. Because he was like Franco Harris, a workhorse kind of running back. He fit the team he played for. I mean, he wanted the ball, asked for the ball. Sometimes deserved the ball, sometimes didn't deserve the ball, depending on the game, and always seemed to make the play when you needed him to make a play. I mean, he was the perfect running back to be a Steeler running back.
Okay.
I mean, when you think of the Pittsburgh Steelers, you think of a very blue-collar reputation, and he was a blue-collar running back.
Okay. All right.
That's why I like Jerome Bettis.
Okay. Yeah, the wheels of the bus go round and round. Okay. Actually, he had 2,000-yard years, by the way, with the Rams.
Yes.
And he was consistent. With the Rams, he averaged 3.9 yards a carry, and with the Steelers, he averaged 3.9 yards a carry. And you, and here's the other, but here's the part that actually hurts him a little bit. Okay, his last 4 years in the pros, 3.6, 3.3, 3.8, 3.3.
Well, but a couple of those years, though, I think he was splitting carries. I mean, he wasn't. He
so,
wasn't.
So
the,
what?
No, I'm just saying he wasn't the lone running back. He was getting multiple carries. Here's another thing that a lot of people don't realize.
Just told me he was the workhorse.
No, up until the end. Up until the end, there was some help along the line. But here's one of the other things that not a lot of people realize unless you were a Steeler fan. He actually struggled the first couple of games of the season due to the asthma because of the heat. So he couldn't become the workhorse that he really was during the end of the season. He got better as the season went along because he didn't have the issues.
Right. Well, you know. Oops. And, well, that's look, he only three times in his career with the Steelers he averaged over 4 yards a carry. That hurts. That hurts, don't you think?
Oh, I think it does. I really do. But I think that when you look at the broad picture, I think Jerome Bettis deserves to be in there. But I think the fact that he had one Super Bowl under his belt is the reason why a lot of the votes don't go his way right now. And let's face it, he did not score a touchdown in that game. He had like 40 yards on 15 carries.
I disagree with you. I think it goes deeper than that. When they get into this room, they debate heavily about players and where they fit in their era. And I also think that the Pro Football Hall of Fame does the same thing the Baseball Hall of Fame that I do not like. They restrict the number of people you can put in.
If you deserve to be there, you deserve to be there. Why should there be a limit?
That's my point. All right, time now for Inside Penn State Athletics. Courtesy of Learfield Sports. Okay, here we go. It's been an interesting 24 hours. But there are reports in Nashville that Vanderbilt's looking for a new football coach.
Amazing it was last night following this story. There's a website you can go called flightradar.com where you can track planes. And I do that because I'm scheduled to leave the country shortly.
Steve was talking about that the other day.
And guess what? People were following that mysterious plane from Florida to State College, tracking it like it's Santa Claus on Christmas Eve or something. Amazing.
Right. Well, you know what? I said to Dick last night, I said, I'll bet any amount it's Joyner, Erickson, and some other people. I said, because you're not going to go and make a hire of a coach, football, basketball coach, unless the university president sits down and gets a read. I said, and that usually is what happened. That's standard operating procedure.
No question about that. That was a telling sign when the president got off the plane, because everyone around the table is going to look at him and wait for his like nod of approval.
Well, you know, just so they look. You want to know what's going on?
Sure.
I mean, you just want to know what's going on. You're the president of the university. And that's one of the things that you do. It's a major hire. Your football coach and your men's basketball coach are your two pivotal hires when you're doing this. You know, for obvious reasons, they're your two revenue-producing sports.
You know, if
and again, I don't want wrestling fans to say, "Oh, come on, hey guys, slow down." Wrestling's awesome, incredible, and the whole thing. And every single wrestling program, and I mean literally every one of them, loses your athletic department money. You can't have a wrestling program without a football and a men's basketball program. It's just the financial way of life. That's why you need it. That's why when you're hiring, you really have to have the right guys in that spot. It's unfortunately that simple. Kevin hates when I talk about money, but there's a reality.
It's a big reality. It's $100 million of reality.
Yeah, I mean, and you're looking at You take Dave Joyner, for example. He's the CEO of a multi-million-dollar corporation, really.
Well, you know what would have happened had the AD of any major school come back to the campus and said, Mr. President, guess what? You won't believe it, but I just hired the new football basketball coach. That conversation would be very short from the president.
Of course it would. It would
be, see you later.
Right. They need to know what's going on because of the magnitude of the hire. Well, that's what last night was about.
No question.
Now tonight's about a different story. So, Bob, great to have you in the house today.
Thank you, Steve.
Kevin, good news. Jerome Bettis still not in the Hall of Fame.
I was thinking that maybe it was going to happen in the last, 7 minutes that we talked about it. No, it didn't happen. I was trying. I pushed hard enough. I mean, come on.
Some guys just aren't good enough.
Kevin, you didn't resort to outright bribery.
I'm not even going to justify that. By the way, looking at the Vanderbilt athletic site, James Franklin's still the coach.
Yeah, I know he is.
Yeah.
I know he is.
It was a joke.
I know. But I said that about Bettis.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
A lot of heated words during the news. Wow.
I know. I tried to calm Bob down.
Bob and I were suddenly on the defense because of this Jerome Bettis thing. Okay, I don't care if he's in the Hall.
There is nothing else to talk about today but my push for Jerome Bettis to be in the Hall.
I wouldn't have said that. It wouldn't cheapen the place, but I mean, that's not my,
Exactly. What happened, I came into the studio and I said to Kevin, I suppose we're going to talk about Franklin maybe getting the Penn State job and what's gone on in the last 24 hours. I'm sure Steve will have some insight into the process. And his response to me was, after we do about an hour and a half of Jerome Bettis not getting in the Hall of Fame. Ouch.
Not what I said.
And I know. I'm just teasing. And by the way, tonight I will be with the guru of grappling, Steve Williams, and I will be traveling down to Midwest if we can find it. It's not on any maps. And we're going to be doing the Shikellamy Braves at the Midwest Wrestling Match starting at 7:06 p.m. on WKOK 1070 as well as WKOK.com.
All right, James Franklin's situation. I think a lot of people are trying to read as many tea leaves as possible. At the moment, to use a plain term, since all the reporters went to the airport last night. And look, the reporters are doing what you, the fans, want them to do. You want them to go to the airport. Okay? That's responsible reporting. They're just trying to find out information, whatever they can. And that was the area to try and get information from last night. They didn't get much information, although you can read a little bit into it. It is standard practice to have the university president go down to meet said candidate so that the university president, they have complete confidence in the search committee, but basically signs off like, hey, great job, guys. I can see why you want to go in that direction. Okay, and that's part of the process. Now, the next part of the process may be somebody coming here tonight or tomorrow. And we've talked about the time frame being important because you would like to have the head coach, as I mentioned, standing in front of his football team on Sunday, when they have the opportunity to have the entire squad there for a squad meeting. You'd like to have the winter program then kick into high gear with your strength and conditioning program on Monday. The dead period in recruiting ends Wednesday. So that's the time frame that we're talking about right here. And so you look at this a step at a time. As I mentioned yesterday, there is a process. They went through a wide array of resumes of people who wanted this job. They picked out a group of people that they wanted to interview because you need to have that one-to-one contact face-to-face. You can't do this on Skype. You can't do this on the phone. You have to be able to read body language, read facial expressions, just kind of get a feel as the person you're dealing with because you want the right fit. Fit means everything in a situation like this. And you also, by sitting down face-to-face, it allows you to understand what is real and what is gray. And that's what this process has been. I think that there was a little bit of a jumping of the gun over the weekend that probably was not accurate, but I'm not going to put down any of the reporting on that because, look, everybody's working hard and they have their sources and may have indicated it was going in that direction. But I've felt the entire time there was a process and they did not want to make an offer until each step of the process was finished. Well, the interviewing step of the process, as I said, now, how did I close yesterday's show, Kev? I closed yesterday's show by saying the interview process is over, the offering process is next, and that could come tonight or tomorrow. That's how I closed the show yesterday, because that's where it is, hey, which, by the way, still falls within the time frame of what they're dealing with. You'd love to have a head coach in front of his football team on Sunday. You'd love to have the winter program kick into gear on Monday, and the dead period ends on Wednesday. Well, all those days are still in front of us, which means they are still well within the time frame of getting the head football coach. And it's only Thursday. It's been a week. And I think they deserve a lot of credit for getting it to this point in a relatively quick period of time. Texas had all the time in the world to make their selection. Louisville had a far more compressed selection. They found their guy in Bobby Petrino. He's going back. And now we get to this point. If it is James Franklin, he is the kind of hire that if I'm at East Lansing, Columbus, and Ann Arbor, I become very concerned. Dynamic, young, energetic, recruiter, innovator, offensive mind, and the kind of guy that you say the combination of him with Penn State's facilities and fan base becomes dangerous.
Steve, one of the reasons I think the president went down last night is in the event there was some snag in the final negotiations where something came up that hadn't been considered, you want to look to the president and get him to say, okay, to some term or condition or something that has been maybe not previously discussed that may be unique to the situation, but he's there to give it his blessing. And I think it's important that, you know, as you said, for many reasons, the prez has to be in the room, not just to get a feel, but also to sign off on the final part of the deal.
Well, I mean, that's part of it. But I think part of it is saying, you know what, now I know why you went in that direction. Okay, and that's an important part because the last thing you want is to have the president out of the process completely. But the president doesn't need to go in there and get their hands dirty and do anything else when it comes to the process. But there is a place in the process for the university president. And that place in the process is exactly what you saw last night. His place in the process was to personally sit down and talk to the person that you are seriously considering going after and then discussing on the way back, you know what? I like what you did here. I know why you guys like this guy. Blah, blah, blah. And then you go from there. That kind of endorsement then allows you to kick the next part of the process in, and that is to eventually make a formal offer to have them consider and have them come back and say yes or no as to whether you have an agreement in principle.
And, you know, the general rule of thumb is you never make that offer official unless you actually know it's going to be accepted. You get that understanding up front that if we offer, and these are the terms, you will accept because they've negotiated it. You don't want to have to make the offer and get it kicked back in your face because then everybody knows that the next guy that's going to get the job is actually the second choice, not the first.
But that's why this is all so secretive.
Absolutely.
As to how it's being done. You have to keep things within the confines of a small group. Because now it starts getting into, hey, you know, you were the fourth choice, man.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're sitting there going, okay, fine, I was the fourth choice. Okay, you weren't the first guy they picked. Yeah, and that's not an easy way to start a job. Like, Kevin was my first choice. Right, Kev?
I don't even want to know. I don't even want to know.
That's our story. You were the first choice, Kevin. We're sticking to it.
Yeah, we're sticking to it, really. That's our story, babe.
Fine by me.
All right. Dick in Milton at 800-795-9565. Hi, Dick. How are you today?
I'm fine, Steve. You know, it's obviously you're well aware, and all of you guys are, that it's all over the internet and everywhere about the hiring of James Franklin. But, and you know, that scenario you laid out is all well and good, except the other side of that coin is Vanderbilt has to do something now. So the longer this drags on, if it's a day or another whatever, until they can actually go out and hire a new coach, they're going to have to go through the same process. That's what I'm saying.
No question about that.
Well, right. Like my only point is, if it drags on, let's say it's that they don't make it official today, and it goes into tomorrow, then Vanderbilt still has to start this process. I'm sure they're not hiring a football coach immediately, unless they're doing it under the table or behind closed doors.
Or if there's somebody on the current staff that they think could ascend to the position.
I would find that highly unlikely.
How far away is Mike Munchak?
Actually, Dick, that's not true, because I know how highly the two coordinators are thought of.
Well, the only thing is, how many guys would he bring along with him to Penn State?
If I'm sitting there and they tell me I have a chance to be the head coach as opposed to being a coordinator,
right? I understand that, but I'm sure some of those guys are coming along with him.
Oh, there's no question about that. But you just need one guy in that staff to say, "Yeah, I want to do it."
I mean, I don't know. Obviously, you know that you would know that staff a lot better than I would.
Yeah, I actually
looked at the guys today because I was trying to kind of like figure out who might be coming along with him if he is the person. My only point is that they still have, you know, they have that scenario where you get into February, you got the letter of intent day, you have commitments down there, the same as Penn State had commitments, and eventually whoever they're going to hire has got to go through and talk to those kids and make sure that they're staying on board at Vanderbilt. I'm not defending Vanderbilt. I'm just saying that it's not just a Penn State process, but there's another side of this coin. There's another football team looking for a football coach.
No question about it, Dick, and that's where this comes in. That's why I mentioned the possibility that there might be somebody on that staff that they've already... I mean, believe me, the Vanderbilt athletic director has heard about the possibility of this. And, of course, we're trying to get a feel from him. And I'm sure has been able to sit down and say, you know what, maybe we ought to take a good quick look at what we're doing here. And, look, there's a variety of ways you can go. They can do an open search themselves, but I think they have 20 verbal commitments themselves, 20 of them right now. And you can either open up for a search or they may have somebody right away that they'd like to move up. And being a private school instead of a state-sponsored school, they have their own rules as to how they go about doing hiring along the way that they don't have to conform to.
Steve, would they go the route of an interim at this point?
No, you want to hire somebody permanently. You'd want to hire somebody permanently. And Dick's absolutely right. The question is, how many members of the staff would come here if James Franklin were hired? How many would come here on that staff? And there's been a lot of talk that both the OC and the DC have already been getting, have already had Twitter handles where they're reaching out to Penn State recruits, which sounds like, they'd be interested in coming here with him. That also makes the transition to Penn State easier, because one of the things you need to do is to put together a staff. Bill O'Brien came here from the New England Patriots. Many people thought that George Gotze, for example, may come here as the quarterback coach. That never materialized, which means not one member of the Patriots staff made its way to State College. Bill O'Brien had to cobble together his staff from his past relationships from a lot of different sources along the way, and that's how he put it together. In this case, with an established head coach and an established staff, you would have the ability to look at several members of that staff and boom, you guys want to go with me? Yeah, we'll go with you. And suddenly the process of Penn State having a staff becomes easier. And Dick, you're correct. That makes life Vanderbilt far more difficult.
Yeah. Well, the only other thing I do, and I'll let you go, obviously he's going to bring some guys. He's going to have some people he's going to hire. I hope he gives Larry Johnson a real shot, because to me, he's the super glue of that staff up there. He has been for quite a while.
Well, he's done a wonderful job here, no question about that. But there's also some guys on his staff, too, that he looks at that he considers to be his super glue.
I understand.
And there has to be that comfort level. At the same time, they both have worked heavily, James Franklin and Larry, the Mid-Atlantic region. So he knows how hard it's been to compete against him.
Right.
And he also knows his reputation for the defensive lineman that he has put out over time. And that was the point I was trying to make about Ron Vanderlinden in last week when I was talking about the story in the Patriot. When Ron Vanderlinden was let go, my point was people were not mentioning, oh, that's another member of Joe Paterno's staff gone. The names they were talking about were Lee, Posluszny, Bowman, Motti, Wake, Connor. They were talking about the long lineage of people he developed over time. With Larry, that would be the same story. They'd be talking about the long lineage of people that he has developed in his career.
Well, obviously it's going to become official sooner or later. I hope it's sooner. The only, as I say, the only thing is everybody has it posted except Penn State, Vanderbilt, and the Steve Jones Show. Well, everybody's made it official but the three of you.
Yeah, I understand that, but, you know, I'm
not
changing
that. I know everybody has, you know, I'd be very shocked now if it wasn't him.
Right. Obviously, look, I've openly talked about guys here left and right, about every candidate. We've interviewed people about every candidate. I mean, we were the ones on Monday that had the guy that covers the SEC on, did an entire half hour on James Franklin on Monday. So we haven't been shy about talking about potential candidates. But when it comes to officially hiring them, I'd just like to have somebody say, hey, look, we're hiring him. I just think it's the smart way to go.
Yeah, I don't know where I saw this, but I did see somewhere online here yesterday at some time where somebody had thrown Greg Schiano's name in for a Vanderbilt coach. I don't know where that came out of or why. Obviously, he's a former college coach as opposed to some of the guys you mentioned, but it's just,
wow.
I saw his name somewhere.
Wow.
Anyhow, I'll let you go, and thanks a lot, and good luck to whoever it is. I'm sure it's who we've all talked about.
I think everybody's on track as to who it is. We just take a little more cautious approach here. You'd be amazed over time. You'd be amazed over time how that actually has worked.
Hey, people woke up in the morning and Truman beat Dewey. I mean, I understand how it worked.
but remember last Friday when we were doing this show?
Yeah.
We stayed away from talking about whatever, and what was the big rumor Friday afternoon from 3 to 5? Who was the head coach of Penn State?
Some guy from
Everybody's,
Miami.
Everybody said it was Al Golden on Friday, and we didn't go that route.
Well, I think he actually, I don't know this, I think he was offered a job and turned it down. I mean, that's simple.
I find that difficult to believe, Dick, for this reason. I think that there's been a process here. And I think when the process was over, after interviewing the people that they finally picked out as their personal final group, then they wanted to make an offer. I'm not so sure it played out that way.
Yeah, my only concern about Al Golden was, and don't misunderstand me, Miami's okay as a school. I've never been a big Miami fan ever since years ago when they wore the fatigues off the plane. But my only thing about Miami is if you coach at Miami with their standards, and I'll say they're not up to Penn State's, and only a little bit above a 500 coach, I would be a little bit worried. Okay. That was my only thing about Golden, and he might be a great coach. And he played at Penn State, so that makes him worthwhile looking at, obviously. Most guys at Miami win 90% of their games, not 65% or 60%.
Right.
That's how I look at that.
Well, as of right now, I mean, we just sit there and wait because the Vanderbilt athletic director, David Williams, has tweeted out that, at least for the moment, James Franklin remains the coach and Franklin has informed him that he has not accepted another job. Now, that's just as of... Okay, that's why we just play it safe, okay? There's a lot of things here that happen. Agreements in principle, being approved, being vetted, getting in here. I'm just saying, that's why we play it cautiously right now. I think... For me to jump the gun is useless. I've got another 364 days in this year to work.
I hear you. Well, anyhow, good luck to whoever it is.
Yeah, hey, Dick, we'll talk. The second the guy's name, we're going to talk about it a lot. I can't wait to get your input because I know you're a big fan. Thanks, Dick.
See you, Steve. Thank you.
800-795-9565. Back with more of today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel, REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484 or go online to rewfinancial.com. Rick agrees with me. Jerome Bettis out. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915. Sunbury Motor Company has over 300 new Fords and over 100 new Hyundais that must be sold now. Get savings up to $11,000 during the January inventory liquidation event at Sunbury Motor Company. Liquidation means vehicles need to fly off the lot as quickly as possible, and Sunbury Motors will do what it takes to earn your business now. See all of the great deals on new Fords and Hyundais now, because time is of the essence, and if you wait too long, the new Ford or Hyundai you've had your eyes on will be in someone else's driveway. At Sunbury Motor Company, they never pressure you into buying a vehicle you don't want or that's out of your price range. They want to make sure you're getting the best possible deal with the best possible service before, during, and after the sale. This is the time to buy that new Ford or Hyundai, and this is the place. Stop at Sunbury Motor Company now while the selection's at its best. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com.
REW Financial believes in the value of total commitment. We are a working family who strives to prove strength of character by staying independent and core focused. REW has a commitment to the community and the financial needs of our clients. Let us design your portfolio or retirement strategy. REW Financial Lewisburg, the power of freedom. Securities and advisory services offered through United Planners Financial Services. Member FINRA, SIPC. REW Financial is a DBA of REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC, and neither are affiliated with United Planners Financial Services.
Well, obviously another interesting day, interesting night.
Steve, do you want to know my theory as to why James Franklin is the ostensible next head coach?
Sure.
Here's what it is. Athletic director Joyner, bald. David Franklin, bald. Yeah. Those guys stick together. I'm saying. I knew it, but on a less serious note, I did predict on this show when at the outset that my favorite was James Franklin.
He might be
the first East Stroudsburg graduate to amount to something, and I'm only just kidding. It's a big rivalry with my favorite local school, Bloomsburg University. I watched Franklin play in the early 90s. An amazing guy.
Right.
He led the team on and off the field. He was a great, charismatic guy when he was 20 years old.
Well, let's just see how this plays out today. I mean, a lot of people seem to feel they've zeroed in on him.
But the ink isn't dry on the contract.
Right now, I'll tell you the one reason that I play this a little cautiously, everybody's talking about flights from Florida and things like that. He's not the only coach from Florida Penn State considered.
No.
That's why I'm just a little cautious about all this, just until it happens.
Here's the question that I have that's most telling, I think. They interviewed him down at his second home in Florida. Was his wife present or in the area when the interviews went on? Because she would have
tweeted,
a... Go ahead.
He tweeted last night he was putting his kids to bed. That would indicate to me she was around the neighborhood.
And that's an important part of that decision about what you do, having your wife on board.